Introduction to Science. Section 1. The Nature of Science. When you have a question about how something works, how do you find the answer? Generally, scientists describe the universe by using basic rules which can be discovered by careful, methodical study. How science takes place. A scientist may perform experiments to find a new aspect of the natural world, to explain a known phenomenon, to check the results of other experiments, or to test the predictions of current theories. Imagine that it is 1895 and you are experimenting with mysterious rays known as cathode rays. These rays were discovered almost 40 years earlier, but in 1895, no one knows that they are composed of electrons. To produce the rays, you pump the air out of a sealed glass tube to create a vacuum. The tube has two metal rods that are separated from each other, as Figure 1 shows. When the rods are connected to an electrical source, electric charges flow through the empty space between the rods and produce the rays. Scientists answer questions by investigating. As a scientist, you have learned from the work of other scientists and have conducted your own experiments. You know that when certain minerals are placed inside the tube, the cathode rays make them glow. Cardboard pieces coated with powder made from these minerals are used to detect the rays. If a very high voltage is used, even the glass tube glows. Other scientists have found that cathode rays can pass through thin metal foil, but the rays travel in our atmosphere for only 2 or 3 centimeters. You wonder if the rays could pass through the glass tube. Other experiments have shown that cathode rays do not go through glass. You think that scientists may not have been able to see the weak glow from the mineral-coated cardboard because the glass tube glowed too brightly. So, you decide to cover the glass tube with heavy black paper. Scientists plan experiments. Before experimenting, you write your plan in a laboratory notebook and sketch the equipment that you are using. You make a table in which you can record your observations and your variables. The electric voltage used, the distance from the tube to the cathode ray detector, and the air temperature. You state the idea that you are going to test. At a high voltage, cathode rays will be strong enough to be detected outside the tube by causing the mineral-coated cardboard to glow. Scientists observe. You are ready to start your experiment, but want to be sure that the black paper cover does not have any gaps. So, you darken the room and turn on the tube. The cover blocks all of the light from the tube. Just before you switch off the tube, you glimpse a light nearby. When you turn on the tube again, the light reappears. You realize that this light is coming from the mineral-coated cardboard that you plan to use to detect cathode rays. The detector is already glowing, even though it is almost 1 meter away from the tube. You know that cathode rays cannot travel 1 meter in air. You suspect that the tube is giving off a new type of ray that no one has seen before. What do you do now? Wilhelm Röntgen pondered this question in Würzburg, Germany, on November 8, 1895, when he did this experiment. Should he call the experiment a failure because the results were unexpected? Should he report his findings in a scientific journal or ask reporters to cover this news story? Maybe he should send letters about his discovery to famous scientists and invite them to come see his experiment. Scientists always confirm results. Because Röntgen was a scientist, he first repeated his experiment to be sure of his observations. His results caused him to think of new questions and to do more experiments to find the answers to these questions. He found that the rays passed through almost everything, but dense materials absorbed some of the rays. When he held his hand in the path of the rays, the bones were visible as shadows on the detector, as Figure 2 shows. When Röntgen published his findings in December, he still did not know what the rays were. He called them X-rays because X represents an unknown in a mathematical equation. Within 3 months of Röntgen's discovery, a doctor in Massachusetts used X-rays to help set the broken bones in a boy's arm. After a year, more than 1,000 scientific papers about X-rays had been published. In 1901, Röntgen received the first Nobel Prize in Physics for his discovery. The branches of science. Röntgen's work with X-rays shows how scientists work, but what is science about? Science is observing, studying, and experimenting to find the nature of things. You can think of science as having two main branches: social science, which deals with individual and group human behavior, and natural science. Natural science tries to understand how nature, or the whole universe, behaves. Most of the time, natural science is divided into biological science, physical science, and earth science. Figure 3 shows how science is divided. The branches of science work together. The classification of science seems to be very simple. For example, life science is biology. Biology has many branches, such as botany, the science of plants, and ecology, the science of balance in nature. Medicine and agriculture are also branches of biology. Physical science has two main branches, chemistry and physics. Chemistry is the science of matter and its changes. Physics is the science of forces and energy. Both depend greatly on mathematics. Two branches of earth science are geology, the science of the physical nature and history of Earth, and meteorology, the science of the atmosphere and weather. But the branches of science have become more mixed. For example, some chemists study chemicals that make up living things, such as the DNA shown in Figure 4. This branch of science is biochemistry, the study of the matter of living things. It is both a life science and a physical science. Other branches of science are also mixed. For example, geophysics, the study of the forces that affect Earth, is both an earth science and a physical science. Science and technology work together. Scientists who do experiments to learn more about the world are doing pure science. Technology is the application of science for practical uses. Engineers look for ways to use science and technology together. Advances in science and technology depend on one another. The first computers, such as the one shown in Figure 5, often filled up a whole room. But advances in science have led to smaller computers that are both faster and cheaper. Modern computers also help scientists. For example, computers help scientists make complex calculations quickly. Scientific laws and theories. People sometimes say things like, "My theory is that we'll see Jamie on the school bus," when they really mean, "I'm guessing that we'll see Jamie on the school bus." People use the word theory in everyday speech to refer to a guess about something. In science, a theory is much more than a guess. Theories explain why something happens, and laws describe how something works. Experimental results support laws and theories. When you place a hot cooking pot in a cooler place, does the pot become hotter as it stands? No, it will always get cooler. This example illustrates a scientific law that states that warm objects always become cooler when they are placed in cooler surroundings. A scientific law describes a process in nature that can be tested by repeated experiments. A law allows predictions to be made about how a system will behave under a wide range of conditions. However, a law does not explain how a process takes place. In the example of the hot cooking pot, nothing in the law tells why hot objects become cooler in cooler surroundings. Such an explanation of how a natural process works must be provided by a scientific theory. Scientific theories are always being questioned and examined. To be valid, a theory must continue to pass several tests. A theory must explain observations clearly and consistently. For example, the theory that heat is the energy of particles in motion explains why the hot cooking pot gets cooler when it is placed in cooler surroundings. Experiments that illustrate the theory must be repeatable. A cooking pot always gets warmer when placed on a hot stove and always gets cooler when placed in cooler surroundings, whether the pot is moved for the first time or the 31st time. You must be able to predict results from the theory. You might predict that anything that makes the particles in an object move faster will make the object hotter. Sawing a piece of wood, as shown in Figure 6, will make the metal particles in the saw move faster. If you saw rapidly, the saw will get hot to the touch. The theory can explain both why the saw gets warmer and why the cooking pot gets cooler. Mathematics can describe physical events. How would you state the law of gravitation? You could say that something you are holding will fall to Earth when you let it go. This qualitative statement describes with words something that you have seen many times. But many scientific laws and theories can be stated as mathematical equations, which are quantitative statements. Rectangle area equation. A equals L times W. The rectangle area equation works for all rectangles, whether they are short, tall, wide, or thin. Universal gravitation equation. F equals G times M1 M2 divided by D squared. In the same way, the universal gravitation equation describes how large the force will be between two galaxies or between Earth and the skydivers shown falling to Earth in Figure 7. Quantitative expressions of the laws of science make communicating about science easier. Scientists around the world speak and read many different languages, but mathematics, the language of science, is the same everywhere. Theories and laws are always being tested. Sometimes theories must be changed or replaced when new discoveries are made. More than 200 years ago, scientists used the caloric theory to explain how objects become warmer and cooler. Heat was thought to be an invisible fluid called caloric that flowed from a warm object to a cool one. People thought that fires were fountains of caloric, which flowed into surrounding objects and made them warmer. The caloric theory could explain all that people knew about heat. During the 1800s, after doing many experiments, some scientists presented a new theory based on the idea that heat was a result of the motion of particles. Like many new ideas, this new theory was strongly criticized and was not accepted at first by other scientists. But the caloric theory could not explain why rubbing two rough surfaces together made them warmer. Rubbing the surfaces together caused the particles in the surfaces to move faster. The kinetic theory was accepted because it explained both the old and new observations, and the caloric theory was no longer used. Models can represent physical events. When you see the word model, you may think of a small copy of an airplane or a person who shows off clothing. Scientists use models too. A scientific model is a representation of an object or event that can be studied to understand the real object or event. Sometimes models represent things that are too small, too big, or too complex to study easily. A model of a water molecule is shown in Figure 8. Chemists use models to study how water molecules form ice crystals, such as snowflakes. Models can be drawings on paper. Real objects can also be used as models to help us picture things that we cannot see. For example, a spring can be used as a model of a sound wave. A model can also be a mental picture or a set of rules that describes how something works. After you have studied atoms, you will be able to picture atoms in your mind. You can use these pictures to figure out what will happen in chemical reactions. We use models in our everyday lives. Computer models have many uses. For example, they can be used by meteorologists to help forecast the weather. Meteorologists use computer models that use information about wind speed and direction, air temperature, moisture levels, and ground shape. Figure 9 shows how a model was used to predict the path of a hurricane. The outcome of a model depends on the information that is put into the model. Notice that in the first model of the hurricane path, the predicted area where the eye of the hurricane would hit land is very large. As the hurricane got closer to land, more data were collected and added to the model, and the area of the potential landfall was smaller. The satellite image of the actual hurricane shows that this model did a very good job predicting where the hurricane would hit land. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.